Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, are you one of those taking care of your elderly parents or family members? Are you, as a caregiver, in need of some assistance? Tonight, we're shedding light on caregivers and what they do, and maybe even some of the struggles that they face taking care of loved ones. We've got an expert tonight who will give us some advice on how to balance it all. And the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you. Are you a caregiver? Are you one who's in need of some advice on how best to care for that person that you are overseeing? Joining us tonight in studio is Aurora Delispin Jones. She's the Deputy Director of DC's Office on Aging. She is our expert tonight, and she's going to offer us all the information we need to know on caregiving. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Ms. Delispin Jones, caregiving is sort of a broad term, obviously, but how would you, from your standpoint of being someone who's on the ground level working in the Office of DC on Aging, how do we define caregiver? What is a caregiver?
Well, good evening. Thank you for having me. And my definition for caregiving is providing and assisting and giving to those who are unable to care for themselves. That may be in a physical incapacity, or they may have some challenge that they just can't manipulate, network, maneuver on their own. And so you step in and you become the person that goes to, that stands in the gap for them. Caregivers are different. They are paid caregivers, and there are unpaid caregivers. And you asked me about the definition, but I could go on and on, because if I talk about an unpaid caregiver or a paid caregiver, I can just...
Well, I was going to say, are there different responsibilities for those who are paid and unpaid, or is there a different sort of weight that they carry, or is it pretty much all the same, just the other is getting monetary compensation?
The responsibility is really the same when you look at what is needed and what the person is there to support. However, a paid caregiver is one that does it as an occupation, but there is a caring behind it. The unpaid caregiver is one that goes just beyond and really is not compensated for the work that they do. And it can be balanced. It can be equal in terms of how they care for that recipient, but it's just, for one, it's an occupation that is paid for with care, and the other one, it's a labor of love.
I was going to say, is there a greater challenge for those who are not paid, but only paid in love? Is there a greater frustration because there is not sort of a sort of transactional thing where they can really see, okay, I put in 8 to 10 hours and then I get this paycheck here? You may get the love of the one that you're caring for, and maybe some days you don't, but then there's no monetary payoff.
Yeah. Paid caregivers, once their work day is over, they can leave. Not that they don't carry the burden of care, because they may care deeply in their hearts, but they go home to their families. Many unpaid caregivers spend many hours, and they have to, if they're uncompensated, they have to make up for that. They make up for it in their time. They could be doing a lot of other things, shopping or whatever, but they have to schedule that to ensure that the person who they're caring for has supports and is safe and has enough things in place that they can be secure to go on in their life while they're absent, or even if they're there, that time is important. Unpaid caregivers generally provide more on the economic support side, and it's unscheduled for them. Many of them are thrust into this situation, and so they have to do everything and anything they can think of to bring it all together and make it work for them. And a lot of times it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice in their personal energy. It's a sacrifice of their family time. It's a sacrifice of just their living space. Just think, you got to bring mom or dad home. You got to make sure it's accommodated. So it's a labor of love that can extend not just for 8 hours, but for days, years, months, until that person either transition or something else happens and the environment changes for them.
So all of those are challenges, right? And for the caregiver, through those challenges and everything that you've described, I'm also sensing that the great need for balance, because I can see where if you are caring for someone, depending whether maybe you're caring for a small child or a young person or an elderly person, especially as if you're a family member caring for someone, and let's specify that, how do you then find the balance that you still have to care for yourself to be able to best care for someone else?
Well, a lot of times it's through trial and error. You can push yourself to a point, and then it's demanded of you by your body that I have to slow down. People will tell you often, oh, you need to slow down and not do so much. But you have to figure out how to organize your day so that you can give attention and quality attention to family, to work, even to yourself, and most importantly to yourself. Because if you're run down, you're apt to not be able to do your caregiving chores at the highest level that you would like to. So you find your balance a lot of ways. I tell you about my experience. I've cared for 5 people in my family, and I've done it at one time simultaneously. Everybody was sick, and I had a full-time job, and I love my job. And I work very hard at church. So for balance, for me, I had one day of the week, Thursday. And when I got off from work, everybody knew, don't call me because I'm going to the movies. Not that I cared about what was playing, because it could have been a cartoon movie, but it was because it was a quiet place. It was dark, and I could put my phone on silent because I had already organized my care people, web support at home, and it was like a safety place for me. So you have to find those kinds of things. Maybe reading a good book for an hour, soaking in a tub, or just relaxing in a chair in another room. That's how you build yourself back up for the day's work again tomorrow.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our focus tonight is on caregivers, what they do, the demands on them, how they can balance those demands as well to be able to help those who are in need of help. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Aurora Delisman-Jones. She's the Deputy Director of D.C.'s Office on Aging. Again, we'd like to hear from you. Challenges that you're facing, those that you may be caring for, children, elderly parents, other family members, or friends. Do you have some advice or looking for some advice on how best to handle those things that you are dealing with? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. Delisman-Jones, you talked about some of the things that you had to face as you were caring for 5 family members at one time. But what we know as a volunteer, especially if it's a family member, it is a 24/7 job in many ways. You talked about you found a way to find space because you set up something on the web to have help. Can you talk a little bit about that? How does that work? Or is someone not physically there?
Well, let me clarify. I talked about a care web, and that's what
I
called.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It was a care web. it's building a web of supports, building them around you, being able to find them so that they can help you in the process. I work for the D.C. Office on Aging, and let me just talk about what our city does that helps to build this care web that I'm talking about that gives you some security and some respite. We offer adult day health programs and support programs for caregivers. We have services that actually provide supplemental supports, meaning if you run short on something, we can, you know, find it in one of our lead agencies and awards. Our mayor believes that everybody ought to be taken care of, and as many hands that can be in the pot to help, we can keep our people safe and independent and living and thriving. And so when you build these support systems, if I have a support group over here, I can release, I can talk about it, and I can learn new resources. If I have respite aid services and supports, I can go away and get to the movies. And don't have to be feeling like, oh, God, I got to get back home. I got 2 hours of relief.
Which obviously that in itself can be stressful if you feel like I can't be away too long, but I've got to get back quickly. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Again, our focus tonight is on caregivers. Let's go to the phone lines, and Peggy is calling from Columbia, Maryland. Go right ahead, Peggy.
Hi, how are you all?
Good, how are you?
Hello.
Oh, I am. I have a daughter who's totally disabled. She has a disease called Rett syndrome. She's 14. She can't do anything for herself. I'm basically the primary caregiver of her. She goes to Cedar Lane in Fulton in the day, but it's like from, you know, the time she leaves, I have to get her together. Then for the time she come back home. So my daughter, who's 17, she'll help me out with her as well. So I could run errands or things like that. I used to have a nurse that come out to the home and everything, but the nurse really didn't do anything. So I just decided to just stop her from coming, and I just basically still did everything myself. It's hard on me now because even more so now because I've developed back problems. I've had knee surgery, so when I don't work, I don't get paid.
Let Ms. Delphin Jones, Peggy, sort of jump in on parts of what you were talking about. One, she's sacrificing to care for her daughter, but in doing that, monetarily. Right. She's taking a hit. But also, I think what's interesting, what Peggy mentioned, too, is saying her 17-year-old daughter kind of jumps in and fills in spots. That's a lot. And this isn't to cast aspersions on Peggy, but that's a lot, right, to ask of a 17-year-old. So are those the ancillary things also that happen? You might be the primary caregiver, but you might have to depend on someone else, even a younger person in a family, to help.
Yeah, it's good to ask for help when you need help. And you'll be amazed. It doesn't matter how young your children are or your siblings are. It can be a help to you when you are caring for someone, because it may be running upstairs if you can't leave your care recipient by themselves, and that person can run for you. Sometimes it's a learning experience for younger people to help out. So I would say, no, you're never too young.
Never too young, even at 17. And so I want to talk a little bit about that as we go to the other side, too, of who can be a caregiver and is there training that's necessary to be a caregiver, or does it come naturally? If you're on the phone line, stay right there. Deborah and Tina, we will get back to you. The Daily Drum, we're going to continue this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141. We're talking about caregivers and all that that encompasses. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The Original Quiet Storm with Angela Stribling sitting in for Jeff Brown tonight is next on 96.3 WHUR, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our conversation on caregivers will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141 right after this. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HRR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, our conversation on Insight is we're focusing on caregivers, those who care for elderly parents or elderly family members, or maybe you're caring for a young child, a young friend, a young family member. What kind of assistance do you need as a caregiver and some of the issues that you are facing? Tonight, we're shedding some light on caregivers and maybe their struggles of taking care of someone, especially a loved one. Our expert tonight in studio is Aurora Dellisman-Jones. She's Deputy Director of DC's Office on Aging. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Do you have some experience with caregiving? And if so, we'd like to hear your thoughts tonight. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines now. Deborah is calling from Virginia. Go right ahead, Deborah.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. My question is around just getting support with income. Currently, my sister and I caregive for our mother. She's 73 years old. She has dementia. She is high functioning, but it's a lot of work. I mean, from meal prep to preparing for meals to making a decision about transitioning her from out of her home into a facility. Facilities cost so much. Is there any advice or things that you can give for that?
Well, the care web I'm talking about is knowing where supports are that are available to you. So in the District of Columbia and even in Maryland and Virginia, there's an elder care website. You just tap in elder care and pull it up and then put in your zip code, and it will bring up the areas and the resources that are available to you. But in the District of Columbia proper, we are about supportive network around family and caregivers. So we have services like adult day health, and from the economic standpoint of view, we have what is called a caregiver institute, and it provides some stipends for caregivers, unpaid caregivers, and that can be, you can get information from our information and assistance line at 202-724-5626. Our information and assistance referral will give you more information on where you could get some linkages to support.
And Deborah is in Virginia. And again, you said she can go online and just type in
elder care.
And
yes.
Just type in elder care.
Elder care locator and type in your zip code. And it can provide you information on supports in the area in which you live. And this is national.
Right? And Deborah's talked about caring. Thank you so much for your call, Deborah, and best of luck on your search for information. Hopefully we gave you a little bit here. She talked about caring for her parents. I think our previous caller, Peggy, had talked about caring for her young daughter who was disabled. If you can, Aurora, if you can talk a little bit about the differences in caring for someone who has a physical disability and those, say, who have mental disability. Are there different challenges?
Wow. Physical disabilities, yes. You can see it. You can manipulate the environment. You can actually visualize some ways that you can make adjustments to compensate and to assist. When it comes to things like dementia, Alzheimer's, it's like you can't put a Band-Aid on a cut. You can't see it, and you don't really know. So you have to really try to go with what is happening, understanding that it's happening in their bodies, in their minds, and it's the way they see it, and you try to go along with it, not to create chaos in their lives, but to find that calming area. One thing, my mom had dementia, and I used to use a lot of music. Music has a way of soothing people. Colors, the color that I painted her room, I painted it blue, a nice baby blue, so it was a calming effect. So there are different kinds of things that
And
we
is that
can
something
do.
You have to experiment with to learn, or is there information out there that says these are the colors that tend to work best? This
right.
is the kind of music that might work best.
Right. You have to experiment with it because everybody's not the same. However, there is a lot of research out here on it. Caregiving research is growing. You can read, but actually listening to other caregivers, getting in an environment like support groups where you hear what other people do and then you try it and see if it works for you.
Support groups. And let's talk a little bit more about that after we go back to the phone lines. Tina is calling from Virginia. Go right ahead, Tina.
Good evening. I'm glad you all took my call because I have a very interesting story that may even be helpful for many. I take care of my mother, who has dementia and early onset of Alzheimer's. And I've had her for 7 years now in my home. And I had to learn how to manage this entire process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from finding the right services, the right balance for, you know, because I work full-time, a full-time job, which is an hour commute from my home. And so, a long story short, I was able to check the system, and my mother is on Medicaid, but I checked their system, and they have a program called the EDCD waiver program, which allows them to get services that way. So I was able to connect. Someone came out from the...
Have you found, Tina, that has made a tremendous difference? Still feeling it out?
Yeah, because I have ACE to come into my home and at first to attend to my mother while I went out to work.
Mm-hmm.
Then I found a senior citizen, it's an adult daycare center,
mm-hmm.
So that she can go out to. And the services are paid as far as they come and pick her up. They take her to the adult daycare center. She's there doing activities instead of sitting stationary, staring at a wall or a TV all day.
And Tina, this is in Virginia?
Yeah, this is in Virginia. And the bus is bringing her back by the time I get home. So my care providers are there 3 hours to get her off the bus and to get her dinner.
Let me ask you this before I let you go. Is there any way that you can share this company maybe with some of our listeners who are looking for information and maybe want to sort of tap in to what you've been able to find?
All they need to do is contact the Department of Social Services,
mm-hmm.
and inquire about the E as in Echo, D as in David, C as in Charlie, EDCD. D as in David. It's EDCD. I'm sorry. EDCD waiver program.
All right.
That program, they would come. The health department would come to your home and do an inspection. They would do an examination of her, and once it's been declared that she does need services, they would calculate the amount of hours that's needed for your loved one to be careful while you're out of the home.
All right.
And then they will also provide respite hours so you can go on, you know, take a break, go on vacation or something like that.
Right. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Tina, thank you so much for sharing that information. And hopefully our listeners got all of that. And that's a little what you were talking about, isn't it, Ms. Jones, of that web of sharing that information and
right.
trying to find out, hey, I didn't know about this, but I'm in Virginia. Maybe I can tap, because that sounds like a great program of Tina was talking about.
It sounds like our District of Columbia EPD waiver program, our mm-hmm. Elderly and Persons with Physical Disabilities program. And the waiver program does assist people in their homes who are eligible with respite services and services to keep that person in the home getting supports that they need. She's definitely right, is a needed service, and it does help caregivers. And you have to be qualified to get the service, but it's a federally funded program, and it allows the residents to receive nursing home level of care, but in their home. So if it's the same as what she's describing, that is a good service for caregivers to know about. And again, through our information and a referral assistance line, they could get information about that in the District of Columbia as well by calling 202-724-5626.
And say it one more time.
202-724-5626.
All right, write that number down, folks. Our number is 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Our focus tonight is on caregiving. What you can do to maybe better your situation, to help you and help the one that you or more than one are caring for, and some of the challenges that you face. We've already heard some from our callers, and some information that they've shared hopefully will help you out there. 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight is Aurora Delespin-Jones, Deputy Director of D.C.'s Office on Aging. The phone lines are open. Let's go back to the phone lines. Tanya calling from Waldorf. Go right ahead, Tanya.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, in Philadelphia, I heard that there was a program where you can hire your relatives to provide care to your loved one. I relocated my mother from Philadelphia to my home here in Maryland, and I, too, work a full-time job. But there are siblings that, are available that don't work, and I'm wondering if there's such a program down here in this area, because the one in Philly doesn't extend down here.
Yeah, I would suggest that you call the Maryland Department on Aging and speak to them about respite care services that are provided in their jurisdiction. In the district, we do have respite care services as well that are provided for short periods of time. We have it in what's called our Caregivers Institute.
And again, for our listeners, define what respite care is.
Respite is a period of break for a caregiver where they can build themselves back up. They can rest, attend to themselves. It may be just to go shopping. It may be for relaxation. It may be to go to the doctors and get themselves checked out so that they can remain steady on the job. But it's a break away from the caregiving work.
202-319. Thank you so much, Tanya, for your call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before we take our next break, I did want to ask you, how do you decide when it is time, whether it is a young person or elderly person, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, to put them into a center for professional care when you cannot do it on your own?
How do you decide? With a whole lot of care.
Tough decision.
Yeah. I've had that experience, and I had to know my limits, and I had to understand the nature of the illness, understand my own limitations, and then be accepting that this is what I can't change, and so I need the help. And the help
that
I
difficult?
Need. Oh my God! It was my husband. He's quadriplegic and nonverbal by a stroke. Yes, it was very difficult. On a 5 o'clock Friday evening, I was called from the hospital and said, "He's no longer in acute care, so we have to move him to a nursing home." I pleaded that they would give me until Tuesday the next week to find out if I could really do this at home myself. And boy, did I want to do it, but I could not, because he had to be fed through a tube. He had a trach. I could not give the insulin. I've never given anybody a needle, and I don't like needles.
No, it's a double whammy.
So, and quadriplegic, and I had no, my environment was not conducive. So I had to give up. But I found a good place, and I visit them every day.
She is Delaspin, Aurora Delaspin Jones, Deputy Director of D.C.'s Office on Aging. She's here giving expert advice as well as her own personal experiences. So you're getting it from both sides. Not only is she working with others, but also she's had direct experiences with at least five family members. And as you've heard here, with her husband and having to make difficult decisions. We want to hear from you tonight, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our focus tonight, caregivers and caregiving. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Our focus tonight is on caregiving and caregivers, what they face, the challenges they face, the hard work, the strenuous work that they do, whether it's from a professional point of view and you're being paid for it, or you're a volunteer and you're doing it out of love. Either way, it is a monumental effort to care for those who cannot care for themselves. And in doing so, how, as a caregiver, can you make sure that you also take care of yourself so you can do the best you can for those who you're trying to help? 202-319-7810. Our phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. We've had some great calls tonight for those who are caring for children and elderly parents, and some just suggestions on services and things that are out there for those who may want to tap into that. So please give us a call, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Kevin is on the line from Upper Marlboro. Go right ahead, Kevin.
Hi, yes. Good evening, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm a caregiver to my spouse who has MS. I'm here in Prince George's County.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more of a comment. You know, one thing that I've kind of realized since being a caregiver is that, you know, you have to spend a lot of money. You know, I've used a couple of different companies where they have home health aides to come to the home. And basically, and I don't know if you've already talked about this, but they basically have four-hour minimums. And so I basically use them for the four-hour minimums. But basically, to get that respite time that you all have been discussing, the caregiver has to put out a lot of money, so to speak, just to get that extra time, whether it's, you know, out simply running errands, as the young lady just mentioned, going out to the movies, having time for yourself. It's just sort of unfortunate that either health insurance doesn't cover that, or there's not some type of, you know, federal program that covers the out-of-pocket expense for the caregiver to have that respite time for themselves.
Good question, Kevin, and good comments. You know, the financial side of it, Ms. Jones, is I'm sure daunting. And again, you talked about your own personal experience in caring for five different family members, and so. Talk a little bit about the financial side of it. We talked right before the break. How do you decide whether or not you want to put your loved one or friend, whoever you're caring for, right, into a facility where there's professional care, or do you stay home? Do you have to sort of look at that also from a financial standpoint? Does that have a great impact in certain communities? Does that affect others more so than some others?
Well, sure. It impacts either way, whether they stay at home or whether they're in a facility. Because at home, though, it's really hard for the caregiver. You just have to put those resources in. But there are some programs that are supported through federal government as well as our local government that may be able to provide some help in that, stipend caregiver programs and what they call sometimes respite programs. And it means that they would stipend an individual and a family caregiver if they provide some time for the caregiver to get away. I was talking about our Caregiver Institute with the D.C. Office on Aging in D.C., but I'm sure in Maryland and Virginia, again, they have respite programs that you could probably tap into if your caregiver, if your care recipient is 60 and over. I do know that there are funds in the states that are supportive of caregivers getting respite away. Now, you would have to just find those in those local jurisdictions and be able to take advantage of those. But it is very costly to provide support in the home.
Sometimes more costly than putting them in a center or facility?
Well, the cost of your emotion is real great, first of all. Because they're in a facility, the facility still has to be paid. So whether they use the income of the care recipient and then provide a small amount of that for their own personal use, maybe $75 or something to that degree, that may take a whole income out of the household, okay? If you are providing in-home support for that care recipient, then it's out of your pocket. And you need to use, like, adult day health programs if they can get out. That's a way that you know that they're in a safe place for a certain number of hours, and you can then do some things that you need to do. Or, like I said, the Caregiver Institute, which stipends a caregiver from the family realm. It's not a lot, but it is a support, and it does help you go away. And you are more comfortable with your family members taking care of, or a close friend taking care of the one that you love. It's like finding a needle in a haystack sometimes, but there are some services, and you may have to just weave them to get what you need out of them. The biggest thing is knowing what's available. And the way you know what's available, go to the sources in the state. Go to your Office on Aging. Go to your Department on Aging in Maryland. Go to your elder care locator. Talk to people who are in similar situations or have, just get to a support group. Even if you don't go to a support group on a constant basis, just talking to people every now and then will open you up to a whole new world of resources that you didn't know about, or doing something in a way that is totally out of the box. Let me give you one example. I stayed at home 2 months with my mom, and the deaconesses in my church had never been ordained. So my pastor and I talked, and I was stressed out. And he said, you know, for a project, Pastor Lester James said, I'm going to make sure that these deaconesses do caregiving support for you. And that's going to be their project before ordination. So they actually took time slots during the day so I could have 2 hours to get home from work, 2 hours after my work tour to get home because I had other aid support during the day. I had 2 hours from the church, and I didn't have to pay them. Mm. And they were using that as a project towards their ordination. So he developed that, and it really helped me. It helped me because I knew I had 2 hours before I needed to go back into taking care of mom. And so the church becomes another way of support. There are so many people who would want to give if they knew.
Mm. So you have to make folks aware. So that's a whole other conversation, right?
Yeah.
That you have to make yourself open to receive help and to say that you need help. We have a few moments left, so if you still want to sneak in a call, we can get it in, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kevin, thank you so much for your call, and best of luck on your journey as a caregiver. 202-319-7810, that's our topic tonight. We're talking about caregiving and caregivers specifically. Ms. Jones, let me ask you this. From one who works in the community and one who has personally had to be a caregiver, How do you deal with this aspect of it? If you are caring for a loved one and you do have to put them in a facility, and is there an emotional toll where sometimes it's hard to let that go because you don't believe that anyone can do for your loved one the way that you can? And you have to trust that they can care for your loved one in the same way that you did, and all those small nuances that you knew about. How do you get over that hump? And is that a hump for folks to have to get over?
Sure. Well, you get over the hump. You do get over the hump because you have to. Okay. But when my husband went into the facility, like I said, I didn't want him to go. And I wasn't successful by that Tuesday, so he did get transferred. I went every day. Now that's me. I went every day until I got comfortable. I was learning this new process. I was learning my husband, who was new, but I was learning a staff who I was hoping was trained professionally, but also had the same heart that I did for my husband. So I would conversate with them when I went in. It wasn't just to see my husband either. I would go to the desk and I'd ask them, how was their day? I let them know, I'm concerned not only about my husband, but you too. And I began to build relationship with them so that I felt better about my husband being there.
So still, you have to still be actively involved, even if they're not home with you. She is Aurora Delespin-Jones, Deputy Director of D.C.'s Office of On Aging, D.C.'s Office on Aging, and she provided some valuable information tonight. Ms. Jones, thank you so much for sharing your personal and professional experiences. I'm sure it helped many out there, and we appreciate you so much. Very important topic tonight. We thank all of our callers who shared their personal experiences with us, and again, we hope that it informed some of you out there, even for those who didn't call in, but we're listening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. That's The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, October 4th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Up next, The Connection with Lorna Newton. Have a great night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.